Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Pague Menos conference call to discuss the results of the first quarter 2021. Today with us, we have Mr. Mário Queirós, CEO, and Mr. Luiz Novais, CFO and IRO. We would like to inform that during the company's presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. We would also like to inform that this conference call is in Portuguese and will be presented by the company's management. For the English conference, there will be simultaneous translation. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Pague Menos management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events, and therefore, they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors and analysts should understand that conditions related to the macroeconomic environment, the industry, and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Mário Queirós. Please, Mr. Queirós, you may proceed.
Good morning. Here is Mário. I apologize for the small technical problem that we had. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the first quarter 2021 results conference call of Pague Menos. We started the year on the right foot with very strong and consistent results. It's one more quarter in which we fulfill our promise to grow our sales and improve our profitability. I don't mean to give you any spoilers because Mr. Novais is going to show you the numbers in more details, but I can't really hold myself back because I must tell you that we have nearly 10% in same-store sales and nearly 9% in mature store sales, which is well above the inflation in the period. At the same time, we were able to expand our gross margin in 1 percentage point. As a consequence, we delivered 8.3% of EBITDA margin and the largest net income of our recent history, more than 44 million. Now I'm going to let Mr. Novais present you the numbers in details, explain to you the factors and reasons that allow us to reach this excellent growth and profitability levels. Then I'll be back to give you more information about our health hubs and digital channels. Novais, I turn over to you.
Thank you, Mário. Good morning, everyone. Let's start on page number four, the results for the first quarter. We are very happy to share with you that we have one more quarter of very positive results, a very good sequence of a few consecutive quarters with good results, reinforcing the deliveries that we had planned and discussed with the investors during our roadshow last year, which makes us very optimistic about the future due to these consistent deliveries that we have been able to give in the past quarters. On this chart, we can see the main four highlights, operational highlights, and on the right, the four main financial highlights. Operational highlights are the same indicators that we used for the previous quarter, but with even better results than in quarter four 2020. Our NPS reached 73, 6 points above the first quarter of 2020. A reduction of 30% in our stockout index, an increment of 5.5% in our assortment, and 17.1 productivity, which is an improvement over 2020. On the right, we show very robust financial results. We reached 9.6% same-store sales, even with the strong comparison base of the first quarter last year, 29.8% of gross margin, 1 percentage point above quarter one 2020, 44.2 million net results, and 18.9% ROIC,
which are very positive results. On the next page, here we have more sales-related indicators. We had 8.3% of total growth of the company, even with a reduction of 23 stores in our portfolio. Same-store sales of 9.6%. A very strong indicator considering that the store portfolio of Pagmenos is 90% mature. So it's a very strong same-store index. And we also had two negative effects and one positive effect in this quarter. The negative effects were one day less compared to first quarter last year. And also the flow of shopping mall stores, which was reduced in the first quarter compared to the previous quarter. So these two effects contributed with 2.7 negative points. And the positive effect. So these two effects, negative and positive, neutralized themselves. So the same-store sales index was very strong, 9.6%. And in mature stores growth, we had 8.7%, a very strong indicator, which is a consequence of all the improvements that we have highlighted so far. The reduced stockout, the increased NPS, and other important KPIs that we're going to highlight in the next slides, such as increments in digital sales, private label. And we also had these excellent results in the first quarter without the emergency aid from the government, which was a theme that we had been monitoring very closely. And we knew that this would be a low impact for us because of the type of product that we sell, which is very resilient. So with the results of the first quarter, we confirmed our theory and estimates of the impact that we had already discussed with you in previous conference calls. On the next page, we have our store portfolio. We finished the quarter with 1.101 stores and 87 new approved locations approved by our committee. Most of these stores already have their contracts signed. We have many works already ongoing. We inaugurated the first store of this new cycle on March 22nd, 1 month earlier in relation to the start of inaugurations, which makes us very optimistic in terms of the delivery schedule for these stores and very optimistic because of the quality of the locations that were chosen by our committee. In the second quarter, we will show you some of the new stores inaugurated and the normal speed that we were already able to achieve in quarter three, 2021. We also refurbished 7 of our stores in this quarter, which is also in line with the plan. And we will refurbish more stores until the end of the year. So on page number 7, we see the evolution of market share measured by the IQVIA. And according to this measurement, we had a reduction of 50 bits in Brazil, comparing year over year. We had some important impacts due to social isolation. Because of social isolation, consumption became more intense in more peripheral neighborhoods, and those who most benefit are the independent pharmacies and associations. These companies gained 230 bips in their growth over year over year. And since this year, the price readjustment was a little higher than last year, we believe that the selling movement of distributors for these independent pharmacies and associations was even greater because this also impacts the market share of these companies in the first quarter, and we believe that this trend should normalize in the coming quarters. On the next page, page number 8, we have here an additional view of our market share. This is Nielsen's view. So Nielsen gives us a same store measurement, and in this measurement, we grew by 20 pips, and it was a much greater increment than the other chains. So this means we're doing really well when compared to the other pharmacy chains, and very optimistic about this new expansion cycle, which will help us resume our market share. It's important to highlight that we are monitoring this market share dynamics very closely, and we're also monitoring, and growing in a balanced way without giving up our gross margin or profitability in order to be able to gain market share. We're very conscious that this movement is due to the number of stores. We had 1,177 stores, and now we have 1,101. So we are making our portfolio leaner, and we're very optimistic about our resumption in the future. Next page, about the sales mix and private label. We had a positive impact on in the first quarter this year, which was the participation of our service line. This was boosted by the COVID test, and this also boosted our health hub. So the share of services grew greatly in this quarter. We're going to hear more about this, but we already have 37 different services being offered in within Clinic Pharma, and we will further expand the number of services, and they are very attractive. So this reinforces our proposal of being a health hub. And on the right side of this slide, we have another piece of good news, the evolution of our private label. We had, even with the major growth in the total sales of the company, this company gained share year over year and quarter over quarter, reaching 6% of our total sales due to some important launches that we had in diapers, nutrition products, and skin products. So we're very happy with our private label, and we still have much more to come in the near future. On page number 10, we have another piece of excellent news. So this was already said by Mario, which is our gross margin. We reached 29.8% gross margin in the first quarter, a 1-point growth year over year, and 40 base points quarter over quarter due to our vendor management price project. We also had an important reduction, 23% reduction in inventory losses, and our sales mix also contributed to the margin of the first quarter. And we're very optimistic about the gross margin for the year. We haven't captured not even half of what we had mapped for these projects, and we still have more room to improve our sales. We are perhaps one of the only pharmacy chains that is growing its sales relevantly and growing its gross margin without giving without too much markdown, and we're still being able to keep an excellent sales growth level. On next page, 11, we're doing really well in terms of FD&A. We had a 50 base points reduction over quarter one last year. Sales increment and expense dilution was very good. We still have room to improve our productivity. So we're doing really well in this area. We were able to maintain the same volume of expenses. But naturally, the first quarter of the year is shorter and the turnover is shorter, so the proportion increase, but this is due to the sales effects. And on the right side, we have administrative expenses that grew 20 base points over quarter one last year. We're investing strongly in our IT team, digital team, really reinforcing our staff to be able to sustain the sustainable growth that the company is presenting. And we also implemented a very robust stock sharing plan for the company's management to boost talent retention. On the next page, we see that as a consequence, we have great EBITDA and net income results. For many consecutive quarters, we have raised the level of results. We grew our EBITDA margin over quarter one last year, reaching 8.3%. These numbers have the effects of IFRS 16. Without the effects of IFRS 16, we grew even more. And for net income, 2.3%, also a very good indicator, and a net income of 44.2 million reals, which is a very strong number and, again, confirms the deliveries that we plan and we're able to fulfill. On page 13, we have our debt and cash cycle. The net debt is within plan. It's 1x and 0.6x with the effects of IFRS 16. We made an investment in quarter one a greater investment in stock. So since the company is better capitalized, we will make the most of the effects of the pre-high. So we were able to replenish our stocks before the price increase. And this is partially financed by our suppliers with a longer payment term. Our receipt term also was expanded, and a great part of this volume was because of the non-anticipation of receivables as we used to do in previous quarters. And on page 14, as a consequence of all this, we had a very important evolution in our ROIC, reaching 18.9%, 2.6 percentage points better than quarter 1 2020, and a very positive performance of the company's share price. And the last slide to close my presentation, we have some important numbers. We maintain our ESG commitments when we are still evolving in this front. In the first quarter 2021, we reached 37% of our stores being powered by renewable energy. We have an important strategic partnership with Cotton now to be able to train our employees, and this will greatly help in the professional development of our employees. And we are also doing everything that we must do in terms of the compliance with the data protection law. And here we have our ESG roadmap. We have created a specific department for ESG. We have a consulting firm helping us. We also inaugurated our materiality matrix. We performed thousands of interviews with customers, stakeholders, and we have our matrix ready. And now we are advancing our strategic plans to be able to prepare our sustainability report, and as soon as it's ready, we will share it with all of you. So now I turn it over to Mario, and he's going to explain to us how we are advancing in our proposal to be a health hub. Thank you, Novais. This was truly a quarter of very exciting numbers. So now on slide 17, the first quarter was not exciting. It was not just exciting in our financial indicators, but the Clinic Pharma also had expressive growth, and which proves that the population is more and more trying out our services and feeling satisfied with them. We expanded the number of consultations. So of every 100 customers that come into our stores, more than 100 used any of the at least one of the Clinic Pharma services. We performed more than 500,000 COVID tests in the quarter. Just to give you a comparison base, we now account for 20% of the market share according to AbraPharma. And even with all this growth, we were able to achieve 93 points in the NPS of this channel, which is another record. We continue to expand the service portfolio of Clinic Pharma, now offering 37 protocols. And we have two new services. We are already offering the neutralizing antibody test for COVID-19. This test is indicated for customers that have already been vaccinated against COVID-19 and want to prove that they already have antibodies. And another novelty is this hematological screening equipment. This is a non-invasive test, so there's no need for blood collection. So it uses infrared to detect 12 biomedical parameters, blood pressure, oxygen saturation, hematocrit, among others. On slide number 18, this is another important front of our health hub, which is vaccination. As we mentioned before, we are now providing to more than 300 cities our vaccination rooms to support the national plan to fight COVID-19. We have this active in a few important marketplaces, and this has also helped in the H1N1 vaccination campaigns. And in addition to the stores, we are also placing these services in schools, companies, and other entities. On slide number 19, I bring more information about our omnichannel platform. We also beat a few records in the first quarter for our digital channels. Our sales grew 140%. going from less than 50 million reals in quarter 1 2020 to more than 116 million in quarter 1 2021. And the digital channel participation, which was stagnated in the past quarter, is now grew to 6.1%, which means a 3.4 percentage point increase year over year. On the next slide, I'll show you some factors that contributed to this level of growth, bringing our digital channels to a new level. On slide number 20, we see some of the channels of our omnichannel platform. Infinite Shelf is already present in 100% of our stores and has 5% share in our digital sales. This tool allows us to service our customers, and they don't have to leave the stores without buying the products they want, and they'll receive their products at home. And still about convenience, the Pague Menos lockers are one more innovation that allows customers to buy online and pick up their order with no lines, no contact, no friction, and in the near future, we'll have more than 200 lockers throughout the country, not just in our stores, but in high-flow locations such as apartment condos, shopping malls, and subway stations. After we implemented our unified call center in October 2020, this allowed us better productivity, better quality, better customer service, and the strong growth of our sales in this channel proves that this strategy was very assertive. The main marketplace, Fortaleza, will be migrated in the second quarter this year when we complete the rollout. So there's potential for more growth in the call center sales. And finally, I'd like to highlight our marketplace. We already have 4 sellers and more than 120 SKUs offered. The sales are still incipient, but the process is already implemented from purchase to delivery. So Pague Menos marketplace is already a reality. And the idea is to sell a supplementary mix to what we have in our stores. For example, wheelchairs and other orthotic products, makeup, cosmetics, veterinary products, and pet products. Everything related with health, personal care, beauty, and well-being. And we know that in order for our marketplace to gain relevance, we need good partners, and we need a good mix of products, and we also need a high flow in our e-commerce platform. So we're investing in content generation and user experience to attract our customers. On the next slide, number 21, I have some examples of these improvements that we are making in UX. We will invest in improving our intelligent search engine. We know that typing in drug ingredients is not an easy task, so we have to make it easier for our customers. Sometimes we can guess what they're trying to find. Another thing that is really interesting is that they can describe what they're searching for using audio. So it makes it easier for them. And it's easier for them to listen to it than reading sometimes. Slide number 22 highlights once again our mantra, which is focus on the customer. And this is the result of much work, investment in quality, customer satisfaction, monitoring of prices, and above all, focus on store execution. This is how we were able to improve what was already really good. So our NPS achieved 72 points, and we show consistent results in the past quarter. And on the right, we have another satisfaction indicator. This quarter, we were certified with the RA1000 stamp from Reclame Aqui. And this is for very few companies, and it makes us really proud. So it was a record NPS and a record score in Reclame Aqui. On slide 23, I share with you a great launch of Pague Menos, which is the Sempre Bem Club, our benefits club. The Sempre Bem Club relies on a partnership with Bem Saúde and other companies, and this potentiates our health hub and fills a gap in the primary care of our customers because most of them do not have access to a health plan. So we have discount plans in a network of more than 6,000 dentistry and medicine practices. Also, we offer annual checkup, access to basic services of clinic pharma, and a great differentiator, which is a reimbursement of up to 300 reals in drugs per year.
and the price is only 20 reals, 99 cents per month. So these are some of the novelties that we wanted to share with you today, together with the great financial results and operational results that we were able to reach in first quarter 2021. So thank you for your attention, and now we can open for questions. Thank you. We will now begin the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your phone. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the line by pressing the hashtag key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask you that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question is from Thiago Macruz, Itaú. Hello, everyone. Good morning. When we look at the history of the company, there are two clear objectives. One was to show the market that you could do much more with the current assets that you have, and I think you're going the right direction, and the results suggest this. And also resuming your growth, investing in daily expansion, opening of new stores. So my question is about the second point. Can you share with us what are your plans for the opening of new stores until the end of the year or in 2022? And what is the status of the real estate selection process? What can you share with us in terms of information and insights so that we can objectively understand what are your growth plans and share gain plans in the future? Thank you, Thiago, for your question. We're very optimistic about the resumption of our growth. We inaugurated the first new store of this new cycle on March 22nd. We anticipated in more than 1 month the first inauguration because we were expecting the first inauguration to be in May. And for the second quarter, we are still in the process of resuming this expansion cycle. So we will not be working at full speed in quarter two, but we will be working at full speed in quarter three. We expect for quarter three a normal speed of inauguration of new stores. But in the recent past, we were opening 120, 150 stores. We even reached 170 stores in 1 year. So it is possible. And we didn't even have the structure that we have now. And so we think that in quarter three, we will already be delivering a very good number at a very good pace of opening new stores. I think things will go back to normal. And we are always open to new opportunities, or we're always searching for new opportunities to expand and resume our market share gain. Thank you, Macruz, for your question. As Mario said really well, in some years, we opened 140 stores. Of course, now we're being cautious, but the number will be relevant, and we will achieve full speed in quarter three, as Mario already said. We started our expansion cycle in September last year, and although we worked very intensely until now, the contract started to be signed as of September, and we have many good things to come. The cities and the towns that we chose, the KPIs that we mapped out, our expansion team is a very high-quality team, and all the opportunities that we have been assessing in our expansion committee have great potential in the micro-markets where we have an important residual market to be captured, or in peripheral cities or peripheral neighborhoods, particularly in the north and northeast of the country. So we expect a lot of good things to come in the future, Macruz. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question, and congratulations for your results this quarter. The next question is from Joseph Giordano with JP Morgan. Hello, good morning. Good morning, Mario and Luis. Thank you for answering my question, and congratulations on your results. I would like to hear from you with this resumption in your expansion. Do you think that
it is possible that you can accelerate this expansion and maybe think about M&A. So this is my first point. And the second point is that now with the strengthened working capital after your offer, I'd like to understand what is the possibility of an incremental reduction in your stockout and expansion of your assortment. And a second point, to try to understand this pre-price adjustment gain that you had, what can we expect in terms of incremental margin gain?
Well, Joseph, thank you for your questions. I'm going to answer about the M&A question, and Novais is going to answer your second question.
We always say that we are open to any opportunities and offers that could bring value to our shareholders. But all the offers that have gotten to us so far didn't really make sense because the returns were below expected. And even below the opening of a new store, for example, which brings a 20% result return. So whenever we find a company to buy that is attractive and it has a good return offer, of course, we will consider it and try to understand what will be the benefit. So we are always open to M&As. However, so far, we are still focused on the opening of new stores because this is what brings the best returns. And regarding the working capital assortment and etc., we still have a lot of room to reduce our stockout. We have seen a great reduction in the past 1.5 years, but there is still room to improve and lower it further. We reduced 30% in quarter one versus quarter one 2020, but there is still a lot of room to improve, and this is contributing greatly to our sales increment. At every 1 percentage point of reduction in our stockout, we have about 100 million increment in a year. So this is an important lever for us and one of the main elements that is helping us also improve our turnover. And we still have a lot of room to improve. Our logistics and supply and assortment teams are working hard on this, and we're very optimistic. And about the assortment, there's also a lot of room to grow. We have about 8,500 SKUs per store, and we want to reach 10,000 per store. And we are advancing fast. Between 18 and 19, we increase by 10% the average number of SKUs per store, and this contributes to about 13% of the total sales of the company today. So if today we have 8,500 and we want to increase to 10,000, we still have about an average growth of 20% in our SKUs, so it's a great potential to improve our turnover due to this improved assortment. Always paying attention to our losses and the most successful products that we're incorporating into our portfolio. And about the pre-price adjustment gain, we have been able to reinforce our stocks. Our commercial team worked really hard to anticipate all of the procurement and purchases that we needed to make. So we have full stocks now. And this cash reinforcement will also help us improve our margins in addition to what we had already planned in our sales plans and private label, which helps us improve our margins. So this pre-price adjustment positive impact will also add value to what we had already mapped in terms of what we expected for our margin. So this is good news, Joseph.
Thank you, Mario Novais. The next question is from Daniela Eger, XP Investimentos.
Good morning, Mario and Luis. Thank you for answering my question. The first question is a follow-up about the M&A possibility. You said that you're looking for returns over 20%. But I want to understand if you're also looking for opportunities to protect your competitive environment. For example, what if a competitor buys an asset that is performing poorly and this could have a negative impact for you? So how are you looking into this potential? If you don't buy a company and the negative impact that it could have for you if a competitor would buy it. So this is my first question. The second question is about your profitability. We are seeing consistently an improvement in your gross margin and EBITDA margin. And Luis already told us that you still have room for further gains. So we want to understand if you're still seeing potential gains for both margins or more for the gross margin. We already heard about your employee store productivity, which is now steady or has a slight increase. So I want to understand how you're seeing these dynamics and also link this to the digital gains. We see other players in your industry that had a negative impact on their gross margin due to the higher share of digital. And now you have the launch of your marketplace. So I want to understand what we can expect from this margin dynamics, considering the growth in digital. And one last question. I want to understand, to know more about the launch of the Simply Bean Club. What is the role of Pague Menos in the economics of this plan? Is it a lever for Clinic Pharma? The monthly payment is a split between all the partners in the program. I just want to understand your economic format for the Simply Bean Club. Thank you for your questions. The idea is to complement the range of services and products that we already offer to our customers in health. Most of our customers do not have access to a health plan. So if we can improve access so that they can pay for consultation or exams, discounted consultation and exams, and also the refund for drugs. We are already doing a lot for this portion of the population, which is our focus, classes B2, C, and D, regarding healthcare. In terms of the economic format, we get a percentage over the sales, but Bem Saúde is responsible for the operations with the Memória International, which is one of the largest groups. It actually works in a funeral field, but now it's developing this type of preventive services. And if Pharma is already present in this project and they are responsible for the actuarial calculations for the refund, the drug refund, for example. So we're very comfortable about the profitability of this product and the acceptance of this product by the population. Just to give you an idea, we are planning to sell 50,000 cards or plans in the first 12 months, which means about 1 million reals per month. But this is not the greatest differentiator. The greatest differentiator is to be able to service these customers and have a better and better range of products and services offered to them. So if they think about the health, they'll think about Pague Menos. And your question about M&A, you're right, it's not just a mathematical calculation. We also have to look at other factors, other aspects of an M&A operation. We always hear the politics of dynamics and the market is as well. So yes, of course, we are considering, it's like a chess game. We always have to consider what the competition is doing and what will happen if we don't do something. So the return expected from an operation is one of the criteria. But of course, we're always waiting on what we are giving up and what we can get from an operation. And we're always paying attention to potential operations that can bring value or destroy value to the company. And about profitability, fortunately, we have levers in nearly all of our areas, all of our results. So we have sales, we have stock out, we have assortment, we have digital, we have the Clinic Pharma. So our average sales per store and our same store growth, there's still a lot to capture, in our opinion. In gross margin, perhaps this is one of the account groups that, in our view, has the greatest potential. as we said, it's less than half of the benefits that we have captured so far. So there's a lot of good things to happen, to take place in the coming quarters. And the pre-price adjustment gains, which will also help us improve our margin. So fortunately, for our gross margin, we expect very good things to come. And also the FD&A, the sales increment, and the optimization of our expenses, the increase in productivity, which is one of our focus in HR and operations. We're implementing a workforce management tool to improve the schedule of our employees in the stores. And this will also help us further improve our productivity with good quality of service. We also recently hired a consulting firm that will help us find opportunities along the lines of the FD&A and in all the other lines that compose the FD&A, so we will be able to extract more value. And regarding the EBITDA margin and financial results, we have a very healthy situation with our debt, with lower spread rates. So all the elements from the P&L, we see potential to improve, and we're very optimistic about the future. Excellent. Thank you, and congratulations. The next question is from Ruben Couto, Santander.
Good morning. I have two questions. My first question is about Clinic Farma, about the acquisition and retention of customers. I know that you show some very good numbers regarding COVID testing, but what are the plans for other services? And also, what is the level of gross margin that comes from the Clinic Farma services? Is it similar to what we saw, 28 to 35% of the product sales? And we saw that your growth was based on average ticket and number of customer serves. So what is the dynamics now in the months of April and May? Do you see that trend continuing? Now that you have a better comparison base, do you see these numbers adjusting themselves?
Hello, Ruben. Thank you for your questions. About Clinic Farma, yes, it was boosted by the record number of tests, more than 500,000 COVID-19 tests in the first quarter, but nearly 200,000 consultations as well in other specialties and other services different than the COVID test. And the COVID test, about 70% of these customers didn't used to be Pague Menos customers before. I had never used Clinic Farma. So that's why we're also working on raising awareness about our health plan, about Clinic Farma, and the COVID test is a good entry point for that. So the number of tests is very important. And about profitability, in the P&L for Clinic Farma, the gross margin is about 40%, which is above hygiene and beauty and closer to our private label. So it does improve our profitability, and it's a very positive P&L together with the EBITDA contribution, because it also contributes to the company's EBITDA. So we don't see Clinic Farma as just a financial anchor to make money. It actually is more important as a way to add value to what we offer our customers. And it is indeed contributing positively to our financial results. Thank you. About the average ticket and the number of customers served, in previous quarters, we were seeing a slow, gradual resumption in the number of customer serves per store. And now in the quarter one, there was a decrease. So until last year, we had a 10% decrease in the number of customers served per store. And now it is 11%. And the average ticket increased slightly.
It was 20 and now it's 22, nearly 23, the average ticket. And the growth in the average ticket, just to give you an idea, is about 10-12% in terms of the number of items sold. So all the work that we're doing in terms of assortment and reducing stockouts improved the number of items sold in the average ticket. And 5% inflation and 5% from the product mix. So products with a higher added value. So this is the breakdown of the increment in our average ticket that we have been seeing recently. This is still similar to what we saw in previous quarters. We still don't know how this is going to behave, but we hope that we will have a good proportion of the population vaccinated shortly in the future, and we expect to see the situation normalize. But we don't have that visibility right now. And you asked about the month of April, and because we have a very weak comparison base, we know that April was the worst month of last year. So we did grow in number of clients and average ticket. But the comparison base hinders this comparison a little bit. We will only have a good comparison base in quarter three because quarter two last year was very weak. All right. Thank you. The question and answer session is now closed. Now I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Mario Queiroz for his final remarks. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for attending and finish with some highlights. Despite the pandemic that affected the country in the first quarter of this year, we were able to deliver very robust and consistent numbers due to our operational improvements. We were able to anticipate our expansion cycle and we inaugurated our first new store in March. Our health hub continues to gain relevance in our business through raising awareness among our customers. And in our omnichannel platform, we have a concrete growth roadmap, and this all with a strong focus on the customer and fulfilling our mission to help them live their life fully. Thank you, and I'll see you next time. This conference call is now closed. Thank you very much for attending, and have a great afternoon.